For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are now listening to The Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Yes, sir, your Eagles undefeated, 3-0. The Carson Wentz revenge game was anything but. The reunion tour continues. Jalen Reagor's in the mud. Carson Wentz is in the mug. Doug is next week. Zach Ertz the following week. Your Philadelphia Eagles are the best team, not only in the NFC East, but in the NFC. We can argue about the whole league in a later time, but they have cemented themselves, in my opinion, firmly as the top seed, the top team, the best in the NFC. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Week 3 recap episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at the Philly Pod. If you are new to the show, appreciate you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your podcasts. Leave those reviews. Leave those five-star ratings. Help us become the top Eagles podcast in the city. You guys have been showing great support in recent weeks, especially throughout the offseason, training camp, and now that the season is here, a lot of excitement for the show. So thank you guys for coming back and listening to the things that we have to say about this team. And there are a lot of good things right now to say about this team. Joined by always my co-host. You can follow him on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else at Stephen Conrad Jr. Instagram is actually real. Stephen Conrad Jr., not fake, real. Real takes, yeah. Real opinions, real real content over there. Be sure to go follow him over there. Stephen, man, we are shit, man. I said it last week. I'm getting that feeling. I think I have that feeling. I have it.
This is it, man.
This is it. Jalen Hurts is passing. He's passed Mahomes in the MVP odds. It's him and Josh Allen. Now, two-man race for MVP. And the fact that Jalen Hurts' performance yesterday isn't even the main story of the game. The fact that this is becoming the standard, it's quietly becoming the standard status quo for Jalen Hurts, just shows you where this team is at. How are we feeling? Victory Monday, man.
On top of the world, literally. I mean, it's just the absolute best, 3 hours of my week, like watching this team, where it used to be that, I mean, 2 years ago, it was the worst 3 hours of my week, you know, when we're tying the Bengals in overtime, Doug Peterson's punting the ball
in overtime. Yeah, man. Yeah, it is something else, man. So far gone from the 2020 woes and taking the worst cap hit in league history, thanks to the guy that we beat down yesterday. And now they seemingly have their quarterback. They have a young wide receiver core. The defense is coming into mold. It is, man. The heart is racing. You start to get a little too excited about this team, and then you have to take a step back and tell yourself that, all right, it's only 3 weeks. But boy, there.
Which, by the way, we're doing that. I got into an awful argument, just awful. I'm getting better at handling like sports debates, if that makes sense. Not that I didn't know how to handle them before. I think I'm an expert. I think I'm an expert at sports debates because I know it's not. People get too caught up in it being,
you're an expert in
life,
polarizing
guys.
Takes. You're an expert in polarizing takes. I'll give you that.
Right. By choice or not, but I know everyone listening, Eagles fans, and I know this is going to hit home for you, but
oh, no.
I am so, so done with people coming at Eagles fans and Philly fans, because I got into an argument with this older gentleman, Steelers fan. He's like, oh, man. Anytime the Eagles win a game, you guys all go to social media and are like, oh, we're going all the way. We're winning the Super Bowl. Like, first of all, you sound stupid. Second of all, why wouldn't you want to have any belief in your team? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're Philly fans. We're the best
in
the world.
Are we supposed to say we're primed for the wild card? Yes, here comes the wild card. That was fine last year.
And I hate that's the narrative. They think whenever something goes remotely okay for a Philadelphia sports team, they just assume fans are saying we're going to the Super Bowl. This team right now, we're one of two teams left that are 3-0. The good chance the Giants are undefeated after tonight. Not that that matters. They suck. Daniel Jones is our quarterback. He throws the ball 4 yards in an attempt. He's terrible. But, like, Jalen Hurts, who, and again, it tends to work this way in Philly. When he was drafted, man, us included, most of Philly fans booed the pick. Didn't like the pick. We didn't hate on him, the person. All right, let's just get that clear. It was still a poor use of resources back.
Like, this, just because he's good now doesn't
mean that.
It's a poor use of resources. Carson Wentz was coming off of dragging nobodies to the postseason, and they just gave him that $128 million contract. You don't give that person, unless they knew something about Carson Wentz that we didn't, which apparently they did, because they look smart now for doing it. But you don't support your franchise quarterback by turning around and drafting another quarterback with a high pick in the draft. Granted, it's worked out for them. They made their bed and now they're laying in it and it's working out, but it's still, you know, in hindsight, it's still obviously a poor use of resources at the time.
It just wasn't supposed to be this way. And it is.
They lucked into it. I don't want to say they lucked into it, because there was some research that went into drafting that pick, obviously, and there was obviously their reservations about Carson Wentz and his injury woes. And now that they're kind of quote unquote lucking into the situation, I don't care how they get there. I mean, they can luck into it. You can do the research. You can be smart about it.
Oh, I love the pick now. It's a great pick.
The fact that we're here and we have this guy. I mean, I'm not bitching about it. I'm definitely not bitching about it. But go ahead with your
point. Context is everything, is the point I'm trying to make. So, like, it's just this is just how things work in Philly. And man, I know it's only 3 weeks, but I think it feels as if Jalen is the guy now. It's pretty much like
it's
like fair, unless man. He like, you know what I'm saying. It feels like he's on a rookie contract. He's second in all, I guess, do you consider it all-purpose yards in the NFL? He's second. I mean,
yeah, total you yards. Know, it's total offensive yards. He's second. Yeah.
Right. Him and Josh Allen, right? Those are the top two?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And his completion percentage is up. I think his TD to interception ratio is absurd. I mean, all the stats out there, I'm sure you'll go through them. I know you have some.
We got numbers. We got numbers for days over here. But yeah, man, that even, you know, that Jalen Hurts, and I just saw the stat because I was watching Get Up this morning. That's why we're doing this show. We woke up, you went for your morning walk. I went and did the stuff. I busted out an MVP article this morning. And we'll be headed up to iHeart Studios immediately following this. After this pod comes out, they'll be listening to it. And then we'll be at iHeart Studios doing the Daily Ticket with Sean Brace from 3 to 6 p.m. on Fox Sports Philadelphia, The Gambler. Shameless plug there for the radio station. But I was watching Get Up. There you go, Brace. I don't want to hear nothing. But I was watching Get Up, and the stat comes up that Jalen Hurts has more yards by himself than 22 other teams right now currently in the NFL. More yards by himself than 22 other offenses in the league. This man is just a one-man freaking... I mean, not obviously one man, because we'll get into all the facets of the offense.
Yeah, we should probably break down the game. I feel like this is like a big picture.
Yeah, well, we're hyped. We're hyped, so yeah, we're gonna get to it.
It needs to be discussed, though, because I think... I can't remember if I texted you. I was actually going to tweet it, but I couldn't... Like, you ever have, like, a tweet in mind, and you're sitting there, and you're just like, you can't figure out how to word it? Like, I'm just whatever. I just decided not
and
to.
I have basically, OCD, so I'm really staring at it and making sure there's no misspellings. Like, it takes me a while to get through the tweet.
I'm sitting there still in disbelief over the Vikings game, and this is when we're starting to, like, really come on the Commanders in that game. That's when we're starting to really put it to them. And I'm like, I still can't get over the Vikings game, and now this is happening. Like, I never...
Feels
expected
like the season's
this.
Moving, man. I almost get sad because before we know it, the season's going to be over again.
Yeah, now this is
like
terrible. There is no way week three is over. There's just no way. And I don't give a shit about the game tonight. It doesn't count. It's week four now, right? It's week four.
No, it's week three. You mean because the game
it's week
is,
four. It's week
there's
four.
No way it's going to be
Cooper
worse
Rush
than the
on
shit
prime
show.
Time. It's week four.
It's no way it's going to be worse than the garbage ass game we watched last night. That Russell Wilson is definitely cooked.
Oh my
gosh. I have to eat my crow. Weren't we spent all offseason contemplating if we should trade the farm
we
for Russell Wilson.
We contemplated. No, don't do this.
We
contemplated.
We did. We contemplated. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We did.
Yeah, but there were some Eagles fans that were all in on Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I was never all in, but I would like, if they're going to do it, I mean, then I guess they're going to do it. And yeah, imagine if we traded all three picks for Russell Wilson to look like that. Mm. Holy hell, Jalen Hurts is looking like the man right now. So yeah, into the recap we go. For the first time since the trade, the Eagles obviously traveled to Washington to face former franchise QB Carson Wentz. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this revenge game, quote unquote, whatever narrative people are going to fly with, was anything but, because this man, Carson Wentz, And I haven't watched a lot of Wentz since the trade. I think the most I ever watched him was the Monday night game last year with Indianapolis. And I actually truthfully forgot how bad his pocket presence was. Like, I truthfully forgot how bad this man is in the pocket. And one of the beat writers, I think it was McLean, I can't remember if it was McLean or Kemsky, had tweeted at one point that Carson Wentz is the guy that in his mind, once an edge rusher runs past him, he's just gone. He's out of existence.
Yeah, I saw
that's
that.
That's a perfect analogy, because Carson Wentz truthfully believes that once he's out of his eyesight, they just don't exist. And the man just has no presence in the pocket. He can't feel anybody coming from behind. He still holds on to the ball too long for whatever the reason is. And he is stubborn. His sheer refusal to throw the ball away is as obvious as ever. And I just don't know how this man, he'll be 30 in December. I don't know, like, how you get this out of him. Wentz is what he is at this point, but different team, same old Wentz. The old habits were on display. The Eagles sacked him 3 times within the first 5 minutes, 6 sacks by halftime, most in franchise history for a half, 9 by the end of the game, which is the most that Carson Wentz has ever been sacked in his career, which is something to say, because he was getting sacked an awful lot when he was in Philadelphia. Tallying up the sacks, Brandon Graham, 2.5. Hassan Reddick, 1.5. Good on you, because I'll let you speak on this in a minute, but you called it. This could be the Hassan Reddick breakout game.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Josh Sweat, 1.5 sacks. Fletcher Cox, 1.5 sacks. Javon Hargrave, 1 sack. And TJ Edwards got the last sack. So I'll give you the floor, Steven. You can bask in your glory, as you called on the preview pod, that maybe we're just waiting for that kind of coming out party for Hassan Reddick, and today was the day, because it didn't show.
How many
show,
did he finish with?
He had 1.5, but he had pressures.
Okay. He was there, man. He was there.
I'll
so
get
much.
The, I'll get the total numbers for him while you're speaking. Go ahead, man. How does this? How good does it feel? We came into the game with 3 sacks, and now we have 12 on the year, which is near the top of the league. This defensive line is finally showing the potential that we have been clamoring about all offseason.
That's the thing. On the last podcast, like Vic just highlighted, that was my biggest question mark with this team, is I felt like the pass rush wasn't that good. I felt like against the Vikings, we were sending extra guys, you know what I mean, to get pressure. But the key here was, man, the front four was getting pressure. I feel like Gannon didn't really have to, send a whole lot of extra blitz or extra help or anything like that. It all started off. And this is a thing, man. Let's just like start from the very beginning. I think the first quote-unquote pressure was Jordan Davis, right? Up the middle, he batted Carson Wentz's pass. And
exactly,
I'm like,
yep. Good
oh,
memory.
Oh, shit.
Good memory. Batted it down, yep.
You know, people say he's, at this point of his career, he should only be in on running downs. And I, honestly, man, like, he's a big human being. I know, by the way, Fletcher, holy hell, man. This was one of the best games of his career, in
for
my
a man
opinion.
That
believe it or
looked
not.
All but cooked last year for a man that was regressed, looked like he had nothing left in the gas tank. He is having a stellar start to the season.
After he kind of had a rough game week one, and he definitely took that personal. The last 2 games, he's been playing out of his mind, and it's crazy because we all kind of assume this is the last hurrah for him, you know, and maybe he wants to go out like a champ. Brandon Graham, coming off of an Achilles injury, plays, what, 14 seasons in the NFL? 13, 14 seasons in the NFL, 2.5 sacks.
Yep.
I think he had 5 QB hits. He hit Carson Wentz 5 times. A guy we thought, like, oh man, we'll take what we can get with Brent, you know, with BG this year. He's coming off of the worst possible injury an athlete could have, especially an edge rusher when you need to just explode off the line.
You need that burst to get off the line.
You can't
right?
tell me this game was not personal. And I told every, I'm not a genius for saying this, but like this is the beauty of sports, man. This is why I was so amped up for this game. And it's why I'm so amped up for the next game too. Because as much as I love Doug Peterson, who by the way deserves to get cheered when he takes the field next week, can we agree with that? Whereas Carson Wentz, when Washington comes to play Philly, you guys can boo Carson. Absolutely. I don't care. Just don't boo Doug Peterson, the guy who helped deliver the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can't boo Doug. You can't boo. Because Doug didn't like force his way out. Like Carson took his ball and like left. Yeah. You know, he forced his way out. Doug just kind of was like, if I can't have my coordinators, Press Taylor, you know, Mike Groh, those guys, if I can't
have
my coordinators.
About that when he delivered this town the first Super Bowl in NFL history. Like, come
Carson
on,
Wentz
man.
Cost us Doug Peterson at the end of that.
Yeah.
End of the, so, but really yeah, you can't boo Doug. You can't boo Doug. And he is doing stellar work with Trevor Lawrence over in Jacksonville. Yes. We'll get into that later in the week when we do our...
Sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm just... the biggest question mark, man, of the team, we thought, was going to be the pass rush, and they got nine... Now, look, Washington's offensive line's not, like, great, but still, like, nine sacks.
They were missing their top center, too.
Yeah. So. That definitely helped. But really quick, you touched on Carson. Obviously, he still just has no freak. He has no pocket awareness. I just don't understand.
Nothing. That awareness rating is like 16. At the same time,
though, their game plan was stupid.
Yeah, well, what did they do? Like seven-step dropbacks. Like Carson, yeah, like, it takes 10 seconds for plays to develop. So like they didn't do Carson a lot of favors, but you still got to know when to keep two hands on the ball, throw it away.
Yeah.
Live to see another down. But yeah.
BG with his classic strip on him. He just had to get it, huh?
Yeah, he did. Well, you got to think, like, this defense, Cox, Graham, like, the guys that played throughout the duration of Wentz's career, they played against him in practice all those years. They know what his weaknesses are. They know what he's prone to, and they went after the ball. And they emphasized punching the ball out in practice last week, the Eagles did. So Sirianni knew. They all knew what Carson Wentz is prone at. It's not a
secret. Let's do that every week, man. I think he leads
the league throughout. Since he's coming to the league, Carson Wentz leads the league in fumbles. So
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
That is what it is. But Hassan Reddick, I told you I would find those numbers. 2 sacks and 2 QB hits he had. So he was in Carson's face all day, as was the rest of that defensive line. Carson Wentz was hit 16 total times yesterday, sacked, hit, or under duress for 16.4% of his dropbacks, the most of any in his 3 games this season. And he was blitzed on just 25% of dropbacks, which was the least of any in his 3 games this season. So Steven, remember in the preview pod we did a couple days ago, and we talked about, can they get pressure with just 4? Because if they can get pressure without blitzing, then it's going to be difficult for Carson Wentz to move the ball on this Philadelphia defense. And those words rung true in this game, because 7 of the Eagles' 9 sacks came without blitzing. That's tied for most sacks produced with a 4-man rush in a regular season NFL game over the past 3 years, that status per PFF. So the Eagles got home with just 4 guys for the most time. They didn't need to blitz, and Carson Wentz was under pressure and surprisingly didn't throw any picks, but he did have those 2 fumbles. So very good for the defensive line to get that pressure. And yeah, it's good that you remembered the bat down. I remember for the first play from scrimmage, and Jordan Davis was right up.
Well, like Carson's a huge, he's a big human being. 6'5", man. He just batted his first pass. I was like, damn.
Yeah, as a 6'5" guy, you need to do better than that. Jordan Davis was also in that in the last sack, the very last sack that T.J. Edwards got. Jordan Davis got in his grill, wasn't able to wrap him up, but it is what it is. On top of just Carson Wentz, the offense couldn't muster up anything in general, of course, until the second half. If you had to guess how many yards the Commanders had in the first half, how many yards do you think they had?
Well, wait, wasn't the net yardage like negative?
Negative 1 yards they had in the first half, and the Eagles had well over 300. So, man, yeah, the defense harassed them all day, and that was the formula. If you can get in Carson's face, they're not going to stand much of a chance, and that's exactly what had happened. So moving on to the other star of the show, boy, whatever the narratives were after week 1, after Devontae Smith didn't record a single catch, yeah, those notions were abolished yesterday with a career high day. 8 catches on 12 targets, 169 yards, including that touchdown at the end of the first half that apparently Hurts called on his own. It wasn't even in the game plan, which is wild. Devontae's 156 yards in the first half are the most by any Eagles player in a half since Kevin Curtis in 2007. Career highs in both yards and receptions. I did not know what I was watching half the time, because there has been much made about who's 1A, who's 1B with AJ and Devontae here, and it really doesn't matter because AJ can have his day, and then, you know, Jalen Hurts had the day. Minnesota, and then yesterday was all about Devontae Smith, and that's with Dallas Goedert and AJ Brown scoring touchdowns, their first of the season. I don't even know how to put the excitement into words. Just watching Smitty go off in the ways that we saw Jamar Chase do it last year, saw Jalen Waddle doing it, and you were like, when is this Smitty's gonna have that game? And yesterday, we finally got that game.
You're right, and I just didn't think in this offense, that's the thing, because the ball gets distributed so much evenly. I mean, Grant Calcaterra had a 40-yard catch, man.
Yeah, that was when Goddard had to come out. He had a shin injury.
And by the way, Quez, Quez is not going to get a lot of props, but he was the first of this just onslaught from the receivers, because that PI, I think it was either on the first or second drive when we were kind of stalling, attacked that corner. He was in the slot. Quez was in the slot on that play. But anyway, to touch on Devontae, I want to sit here and compare him and AJ Brown. I kind of want to be like, you know, lightning and thunder, but I can't really do that because Devontae may look like he's fast, he's quick, the route running and all that, but like this dude's playing above the rim. He's mossing people.
It's
like
wild, man.
That play before the touchdown,
the rock bottom he took.
Oh my God. So that's the thing. Everybody in my house was panicking and thought he was hurt after that. And I'm like, nah, he's upset he didn't score. I know that look. He wanted to score on that play.
I thought he just got the wind knocked out of him. Yeah, that's what I thought. When you hit your back on the ground, you know, that sucks all the wind out of you.
He got rock bottom into oblivion. He went up so high for that. I mean, he just keeps doing it. Like, you just look at him and he looks like he's built like Kenny Stills or one of those guys that just runs go routes and can't really do anything else. And he's just out here making these plays. They don't call him, you know, the Slim Reaper for nothing. I mean, I am in disbelief that catch, man. And then obviously the one that Ron Rivera's old ass didn't have enough time to throw the challenge flag out for. I mean, just reward him. That was a phenomenal catch, man. I mean, you can say what you want. And then you said the play Hurts just pulled out of his ass. I was panicking because we're out of timeouts, and I'm like,
isn't the clock like paused on the screen?
Yes, and I'm like, wait, we don't have enough time to run Jake Elliott out there because the clock's running. You can't spike the ball because it's fourth down, and he just rips the ball out of the corners.
Is poise you see in 10-year veterans, that kind of play. And they said they didn't even run that play in the game plan. How did you go up to the line of scrimmage, run the check into that play with the clock winding down, and just remain cool, calm and collected? And we speak all the time about Hurts and his stoic expression and his composure, and that is something you don't see from guys until they are well into the league, not from a guy.
And that's why you want a guy like that playing quarterback in those situations.
Oh man, that is just calm.
You can prep all you want, but those situations happen in games. You know what I mean? You can't.
We know
prep
that Hurts
for
that. Is a gamer. That's been the narrative that Hurts is a gamer. He's not a big practice guy. He just shows up under the lights. He hit seven different receivers in this game. Devontae Smith, 8 catches. AJ Brown, 5 catches, 85 yards. Grant Calcaterra, you mentioned, 40 yards. Goddard, 3 catches. Pascal, 3 catches. Jack Stahl, Miles Sanders, 1 catch apiece. Speaking of Zach Pascal, one thing I didn't like, that fourth down play call with the end around to Zach Pascal. So two things on that play call. Number one, running east to west. Like, running horizontal on a fourth and one never ends well. I don't know.
Well,
they got too cute on that game. That's Chip
Kelly-type
shit. You liked it? You liked it? Oh, I'll give you the floor in a second. That's Chip Kelly-esque. That's Chip Kelly, DeMarco Murray-type stuff. You don't want to see that. And if you are going to run that play, if you are so dead set on running that play, do not give the ball to Zach Pascal. Give it to somebody else. Give it to AJ. Give it to Miles. Somebody who can get you the yards. But you have stocky-ass Jalen Hurts and just run the QB sneak. I don't know why. I don't know why. And they ran the timeout. He ran the sneak, and I don't think he got it, actually. He ran the sneak, but they called the timeout before the sneak, and they had a whole timeout to think about what they were going to run, and that's the play that Sirianni whips out. So that's something I didn't like. But you were a fan of it, apparently?
Usually I feel confident with the Hurts QB sneak in that situation, but for some reason, I'm looking at that Commanders defensive line, and I'm like, I just don't know if they can win here, man.
Stocky, Jared Allen, Jonathan Allen, Montez.
Sirianni got way too cute in that. I just don't agree with doing an end around with Pascal there. I think it should have been, you would think you go Quez, like pure speed, but I would do that with AJ Brown because he just, the yards after contact with that man, I'm willing to bet on him. You know what I mean? In that situation. I think Kenny G was the running back on that play anyway. So I'm like, wait, I don't know about this.
It's going
man.
To somebody we're not playing for. Maybe Sirianni's approach was like, we're going to give it to a guy that not everybody is expecting.
But wait, I thought Steichen caused plays.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, Steichen. Let's just be Steichen. Clear here, guys. All
right. Yeah, yeah. Good call.
Let's get off his back now. Come on.
So the career game from Devontae Smith. Surely we were waiting for it, and he is off and running. The Eagles now have two receivers. I believe AJ Brown is fourth in the league right now in receiving yards, and Devontae Smith is 11th. So we're towing the line of having two top 10 receivers.
AJ Brown is still the best third down wide receiver in the NFL.
Correct. And another victory lap I'm going to give you is that Darius Slay's assessment has also rung true in the fact that the team does, in fact, have three Batmans. And Batman just happens to be your favorite superhero. And I see you want to do masks, yeah, you at tailgates.
Shambles, dude, huh?
You want to do the whole bit. So,
what, do you not support it?
I'm
you
fine.
Can't do the underdog thing now.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying Batman's a lame superhero. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
Batman's
he's not
a real
lame.
He's not a real superhero.
So you're gonna call AJ Brown lame for?
No, that's
Batman
fine.
Kid.
They can be the Batmans. Oh. That's fine. They can do that. We're having the shirts made with the Batman bodies on the heads. We're gonna do the whole thing. But I just know Batman is, you're a diehard Batman fan, and I know makes you
love
grin
it.
Ear to ear when you hear that their our receivers are literally called Batmans. This is your
no Robins on this team, man. Come on.
No Robins. Yeah, Zach Pascal was surely a Robin yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Sirianni really wanted that, man. He must have really wanted. He probably thought Pascal was gonna score on that play on that end around, huh? But no,
man,
the Batman thing's dope, dude. Come on. The cape thing, that's dope. If anybody's gonna hate on it, you're a loser. Get over yourself.
I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying Batman's not a real superhero.
No, but you
but
know, there's
fine.
Just people that are like, oh, just hand the ball to the ref. Shut up. This team's got swag. They got good vibes. They're winning. I mean, the underdog mask thing was dope. So the fact that they're able to come up, you know, with something new here, I like it.
We're probably going to see those masks because last year at the tailgates, what was it? Sunflowers because of the flower shit.
Yeah,
that's great. And now we got Batman. So we got something a little cooler. So that'll be.
I think I got a cape. I might wear a cape to the next.
Yeah,
tailgate.
Cape would be
it's
lit.
Think I'm doing that. I can't do a mask. I don't know. It's
I'm not trying to put it on my face. AJ Brown whipped out the cape after his touchdown. Devontae Smith put it on after his touchdown. And AJ Brown said he got it for $9.99 on Amazon. And I'm sure they're sold out. So if you're going to get a cape, you might have to hit Party City or something because I don't think you're going to find them on Amazon. We kind of shit on Zach Pascal just now, but I do want to recognize his blocking. Do you remember the screen, Devontae Smith screen in the second half?
Pascal
laid that dude out. So he takes pride in his run blocking, so I do want to give him his respect in that regard. So the fact now that the stellar performance from Jalen Hurts is now the third thing. I know we opened up and gushed about it for a little bit, but now that Jalen Hurts is the third bullet on the list just lets you know how far his progression has come because, you know, if this time last year, if he put together a 343 touchdown game, we would get on this pod, we'd be screaming about it, and we are going to scream about it. But the fact now that this is starting to feel more and more like the norm, starting to feel more like this is the standard now, maybe we should start expecting this from Hurts because now it's starting to feel like these are the games that is just Hurts is just going to put together like normally. And this is, I can't even begin to explain the excitement of having a quarterback like that. Again, I know 3 weeks, we don't want to act like this is like we have our QB for the next 10 years. We still got to see how the rest of the season plays
out. I'm sold.
I mean, yeah, this.
Well, this is the thing, man. You know what stood out with me? And again, the deep ball. I mean, maybe I'm wrong at this point, but
the
deep ball is never going to be
prettiest deep ball in the league, bro.
Oh, you're going there?
He has a pretty deep ball. That might be his strongest throw is the deep ball.
Whoa.
His strongest ball, dude, it's not. We all know it's not the intermediate throws. It's not the short throws.
What do you mean? He's got like one of the best passer ratings between 10.
Yes,
and 15
I know.
Yards.
No, I'm saying as a whole though, like since his career started as a full landscape, like you take the full sample.
Wait, you mean
size.
To tell me the guy that people were once calling Noodle Arm has the prettiest deep ball in the NFL?
I think so. I think he's always had nice. He had the good one to Quez last year. He hit Deshaun in his rookie year after Wentz got benched. I think he's always had a nice deep ball personally. But yeah, I mean that's not to say that the
well, what I'm
arms.
Saying is I think what's going to make him make his money in this league and cement himself is the intermediate throws, which he did the first couple weeks of the season, obviously did yesterday too, but yesterday was all about the deep ball. This guy was slinging the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Think the two to Devontae, I believe, did AJ have a long ball? Hold up, I don't know.
He had one that he missed. He had a long ball, but he missed it.
Two to Quez, which both drew penalties. Like, he's an efficient deep ball thrower now. It's a weapon. And obviously, I mean, when you got Wild Goose.
Wild Goose. You got Dude, that's Wild such Goose. A lit last name. I wish my last name was Wild Goose.
Yo, when you that got Wild Goose out there, I mean, obviously your eyes are going to light up a little bit. But it's the fact that he is not scared in the slightest, man. Like, the offense was kind of stalling in the beginning. He's like, yo, Quez, let's go. Let's attack this guy. I'm like, dude, this guy is playing quarterback out there. All three levels, I will keep saying this. It's like a basketball comparison, a three-level score. He's playing quarterback at all three levels. He is a three-level quarterback. You can't tell me there is one part of the field he is not targeting. Everybody's like, last year, oh, he doesn't throw to the middle of the field. He is targeting every dimension, every universe of the field, okay? Everywhere. He's running, throwing everywhere, period.
Yeah, I gotta look at
what's
that,
the question mark.
I gotta look at the passing chart from yesterday to see where exactly all those targets were, because I'm sure it's gonna be I'm sure it's going to be encouraging to see, because he used to avoid the middle of the field last year, you know, never threw in between the hashes, and now you see that changing week by week. And to your point, the confidence in the 50-50 balls, confidence that he didn't have last year when he was obviously throwing the Jalen Reagor. He's throwing those balls with confidence, and if you miss him, you miss him. But more often than not, he knows that Devontae, evidently yesterday, or AJ, as evidence in the Detroit game, is going to come down with those balls. And that is something to be happy about, especially when you consider the woes and what the detractors were saying heading into the year. And we already had detractors after the first 2 years because they still weren't impressed with Hurts and has only had one passing touchdown. You're not going to win MVP when you only have one passing touchdown. Mm. And he was strictly a pocket passer yesterday because Washington's game plan was to contain Hurts. Don't let him outside the pocket. And for the most part, they succeeded. He only had 20 rush yards on 7 rushes, and they succeeded in that game plan, and it still didn't matter because Hurts picked them apart from the pocket. And I just don't know how you're going to defend the guy. He's still with the slow starts, started 1 for 5. That's a trend that he has to get out of. But man, he really cooked after that, and that is encouraging to see. Hurts became the first player in NFL history yesterday with at least 900 yards passing and 150 rushing yards in the first 3 weeks. It feels like this man's setting records. And of course, you can tailor your stats to create your own and make it sound like people are breaking history every week. But Hurts MVP chance as he's leaving the stadium, man. Is he your? And of course, we're coming off the high of the game. But Steven, is he your NFL MVP right now?
I mean, he's in the argument now with Josh Allen. It's hard to argue against either. And obviously, Josh Allen's coming off a loss. We're undefeated.
Why doesn't the NFL have a most improved award? Because that definitely would be Jalen Hurts.
That is true. You know, this kind of goes back to the, for the true Philly Pod fans, the OGs, this kind of goes back to the open practice several years ago when Jalen came out. I don't know if you remember, I attempted a MVP chant. You were like, dude, shut up. And the best part about that was we were in the same section. I just remember she was sitting several rows across with Miss Slay at the time.
Yep.
Who, by the way, look, Darius, that man's back is just tend that man. He needs a massage. Just tend him, Miss Slay, all right? Just tend him. That's all I'm saying. We need him. This secondary, how have we not talked about the secondary? We got the best secondary in the NFL.
I do have a couple things that weren't so great in the game. But the secondary, to your point, we can talk about Darius Slay in and out the lineup throughout the game, dealing with the injury. But until the second half had pretty much made Terry McLaurin non-existent, mostly because Wentz was on the ground for most of the first half. James Bradbury did a stellar job on Jahan Dotson. And other than a first couple catches, Avante Maddox did a good job on Avante Maddox. So to your point, no glaring holes in the secondary, but I will say this, and I know we're not going to be too hard on him because he's only been with the team for a little bit, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson really got I don't know if he like just looks slow out there or his like recovery speed is not up to snuff, but there was one play in particular where Darius Slay, like, basically they were in zone coverage and Darius Slay gave McLaurin to like the safety. There was a miscommunication, but do you remember that? McLaurin ran past
the
Slay,
one good
Slay,
pass
Slay gave
had,
him the safety. That was the one long completion that they did have, and Gardner Johnson was like getting over there. So there's obviously some refinement to be there. Epps has been good. So that's probably, if I had to pick a hole, it's probably that and like punter. I guess you can say punter, but you're not gonna do anything about the punter midseason because you're not gonna screw up bringing in a new holder in here.
Well, this is a good keep in mind. We said this on the preview pod that this is a good wide receiver group that they were playing. I really think Washington has one of the better wide receiver groups. It's just the fact that the combination of, you know, our pass rush and our secondary playing good. Did Howie Roseman, did he like install the defensive game plan this week? Come on. Because like Gannon's known for his like, and maybe he's finally adjusting, but like, man, like you just can't tell me. And Howie's there. He's there in Washington, the dumpster fire of a stadium. He's there pregame in his suit. I'm like,
that shit was leaking. Did you hear? That shit was leaking. Number one, the railing. Man. the railing that collapsed last year, they nailed it down or taped it down, whatever they did.
Yeah, what the hell, dude?
And they put up a sign that said, please don't lean on the railing. A sign. Of all the precautions to take, a sign is going to stop
people. I guess
they
can't afford to, like, actually fix the stadium because they're paying Carson Wentz all that money.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
They need to take some of Carson's salary and repair the goddamn stadium. And the shit was leaking. And on top of that, did you see the dude throw the beer at Jalen Hurts at the end?
Yes. Who the hell did that? You fart.
If that was an Eagles fan, this would be on national fucking news right now.
Yep.
If that happened, be on USA Today, Associated Press, we'd be seeing that shit fucking for days.
Shout out to all the fans of Philly folks that traveled. You guys represented really well.
Oh,
that looked fun.
Squad deep. Holy hell. I was
as
I kind of had
I
FOMO.
Wanted to go, man. I know, but that stadium just sucks.
I was like, I don't know if I could go in that stadium like confidently, but we'll be in Arizona in 2 weeks. That'll be lit.
That's
and I think that's the best game before the bye week, to be honest. I think Kyler, he's obviously the best quarterback cuz there's no debt.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, this Jags team is going to be tough.
Yeah. We'll get into that. We'll get into that later.
This happens, though. I get scared before every game. Every time, this is what happens.
I knew we'd win the game, but I didn't think we were going to sack
Carson. Well, I predicted, I thought it was going to be, I think I predicted 31-20, so yeah. There you go.
All right. So, one more, I guess, negative, you know, as hype as we are about the Eagles, should we be concerned about the sluggish second half? This is the second consecutive game where they didn't score a single point. In the second half, they grew a big enough deficit to where they could just kind of coast. I'm sure they were taking a conservative approach and allowing the defense to just apply pressure. We're going to allow Carson Wentz to beat us. If they're going to get back in this game, it's going to be by ways of the offense. So are we, because they're going to make sure the offense doesn't commit any mistakes. Jalen Hurts is fairly good with taking care of the football. We're not going to do anything dangerous on offense. Let's allow Carson Wentz to try and beat us if they're ever going to get back in this game. But should we be concerned about taking our foot off the gas in the second half? Because you're not going to be able to do that against good teams that we're going to be playing, you know, later on in the season. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is kind of your concern level with the second half slug?
I'll give it like a 6 on the concern scale because it's not like they're blowing these leads. They're winning these games. Obviously, it's you can't like I think I tweeted I'm not that concerned because it's been a couple weeks. Like of all the things for there to be a problem, I'm glad it's that. And it's not like we're blowing these leads. But like you just said, you're probably not going to be up, 24-0 on one of the better teams at halftime. So you're going to have to find ways to actually maintain drives in the second half, score the ball. They're definitely taking their foot off the gas. I was pretty hyped. We started the second half off with a 40-yard completion to Grant Calcaterra, and I'm like, we're not letting up. I think we're going to figure it out. But I don't know what it is, man. I feel like, at least in this game, I don't know, man. The game plan was really weird in the second half. I feel like they still tried attacking down the field. Now, obviously, if Hurts completes that long ball to A.J. Brown, you feel differently. You leave the second half with a touchdown at least, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like the Commanders adjusted and we just took our foot off the gas. The run game wasn't really working. I don't know. I think, and me personally in that situation, I probably would have went to a more quick passing game in the second half. That would have been my mindset, right? I feel like they didn't really do anything differently. They took their foot off the gas. I don't really know, man. Like, it felt like Hurts was looking down the field a lot in the second half. And I'm like, well, you kind of just want to maintain these drives, man. On the road, you got a lead. I don't think you need to do all that.
I'll say this. I wanted that shutout. I really wanted that shutout.
Oh, yeah.
But Boston Scott apparently didn't care about the shutout because he just stayed in the end zone and got fucking hit.
Why
by,
is Boston Scott our go-to back in that situation?
He's going to have a 1 yard man. You need a power back, man. Scout back. The scat back is not the... not the answer in that regard, but yeah, I'm not overly concerned with it. I would like to see, because the scores, I feel like the scores make it seem like it was a little closer than it was. It was pure decimation. Because I know when I write my recaps and I'm writing about beatdowns and I'm looking at the score and I'm like, all right, maybe it wasn't a beatdown per se. It was still a 2-possession game. But yeah, it would be nice to get up into the 30s. You have all these yards that's trying to get in the end zone in the second half. I want to read you the rest of this schedule because I was reading just now through the schedule. And, bro, I don't know if...
Oh, man, let's not do this, guys.
I'm just saying, bro.
God damn it. We can't have Doug come into Philly and beat us, guys. Let's slow down.
I don't know, bro. So, Jags next week, right? And then Cardinals. Those are probably the two toughest games, I would say, back-to-back. Jags, Cardinals. You got Dallas, Cooper Rush right before the bye week.
Well, hold up. I mean, the Vikings on paper, that was supposed to be a tough game.
Yeah, but I'm saying remaining games. Oh, so okay. Jaguars and Cardinals are probably, probably toughest stretch at this point. Then you got Dallas, that's Cooper Rush before the bye week. Then you have the Steelers, who don't look great right now with Mitch Trubisky, unless they make a change at quarterback. And then you have rookie Kenny Pickett in there. Texans, no. Commanders again. Colts, who beat the Chiefs yesterday somehow. Packers, tough game. Titans, I assume will be tough. Derrick Henry. But they don't look great either, though. Giants, Bears, Cowboys with Dak back. And then that rounds out the... And then Saints, and then the Giants in January.
Mm.
So maybe I'm seeing like...
What, 17? Three losses at most, about to
man. I say three losses at most, man. It's tough. I think we're favored in like all but two games for the remainder of the year. I have to go back and see the odds. But that is a wild to just look at. I was looking at the schedule and I was like, yo, we might run the table, bro. We might run the table. Mm. Jalen Hurts continues to impress Devontae Smith with a career high game. Defense gets to Carson Wentz nine times. Nine. Goddamn. Nine. Most in Carson Wentz's career, which is wild to
all of our new additions, man, had a fingerprint on this game too.
Yeah, that's good.
Once I think that was the question we brought up last time, and Reddick finally had his. Bradbury continues to just be a baller.
Lockdown. I know Slay literally takes receivers out of the game, and they can't even target the other guy because Bradbury just shuts them down.
And then Maddox is like exactly where he should be, man. He was matched up against, I don't know where Curtis Samuel ranks in the slot, but I mean, he's pretty explosive. And
he's good. He had a very good game last week. He's been good. And they use him all over the field, and Maddox, you know, basically rendered him.
Hating on Chauncey Garner, dude. I remember he had a couple of plays. He's jawing.
I'm just saying. He needs some refinement.
Nobody told me about his little green, what is that in the back of his head there? I don't know. He did something. It's like tips. A green dread.
Yeah, that's dope. I will say though, this energy is definitely reminiscent of 2017. The dancing, the how Devontae did the arm fold, reminiscent of Jalen last season. Oh boy, I'm almost there, bro.
I needed this was huge for Devontae, man. Everything. I don't know where to.
I feel like a Dallas game is next. He only had 26.
You know what
yards
this
yesterday.
Felt like, man. This game to me felt like, and this is how I just know he's legit. I know there were serious question marks about is Devontae Smith like this or that? Maybe he's just like a perfect number two. This game was a reminder that he is a number one and he has the mindset of a number one. This game to me felt like his Bama days where he's just out there just
exactly,
wrecking the other
team.
Just everywhere.
And
like,
and you know what did it for me? I said it yesterday to my cousin yesterday when we were watching the game. The one where he caught a crossing route and then ran it up the sideline for like 15 yards. Like, that is Bama Smitty right there. That's Smitty's specialty from
it
Alabama.
It doesn't look like he accelerates either. He just kind of separates.
Moving, bro. And he just moves.
You know what I'm saying?
His long
he just,
ass
like,
strides.
He's like a deer. He reminds me of a deer.
Lanky ass legs. Fucking just, stride for stride. We do want to pay our respects
AJ
to...
AJ Brown did that too. I think it was a crossing route too. He was taking it to the sideline and then he literally comes to a stop and turns up.
And everybody just stares at him because they don't like, people
like,
are scared
like, wait,
death
wait.
To tackle.
Wait, like, is he like, because it doesn't look like he's moving fast. He's just that big and can accelerate. Like, oh my God, these guys are unbelievable.
People are scared to death to tackle him. They like, he runs full speed.
Oh, how about
comes
the touchdown, man?
And yeah, that's just
talk
that's
about
just power
bully right ball, dude. Just that's literally just bully ball. Oh my
that's
God.
That's just power. AJ also, Brown has the slowest stutter step I ever seen, and he just beats people with it because people are terrified to tackle him. That is just what it is. Speaking of receivers, we do want to acknowledge one former one that is apparently lighting him up in Las Vegas right now, Mac Hollins. 8 catches, 158 yards yesterday.
All right.
What is going on? I'm just saying, Mac Hollins, bro. How's this happening? How's this going on? I just wanted to mention that. Thank you guys for tuning into this week one recap episode of the Philly Pod, celebrating the Eagles beatdown of Washington. They moved to 3-0 for the first time since the 2016 season. Look to remain undefeated next week when Doug comes home to Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, and the reunion tour continues. We'll have a recap episode or a preview episode of that game coming up later in the week. Be sure to follow me, the host of Victor Williams, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at the Philly Pod. Follow Steven on the same platforms at Steven Conrad Jr. Instagram is real Steven Conrad Jr. Be sure to visit thelibertyline.com for around the clock coverage on all five major sports in Philadelphia: Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Union, Flyers. Flyers preseason kicked off. We will have Media Day recap today from Kevin McCormick. He will be recapping everything that's going on Media Day right now. I believe PJ Tucker apparently had surgery. They're talking to Harden right now, so we will have all that info up for you as well. He joked with the reporters and said he lost 100 pounds. So, so that's, you know, he has to be a smartass about that. So
what
keep
a time
on
to
tabs.
Be a freaking Philly fan,
man,
guys.
Two
visit
parades
the
in 1 year,
line, man.
We're getting two parades in 1 year, bro. I cannot.
Come on, man. We got
I cannot
you
wait. Celebrate with us. Let's go, Birds. 3-0, baby. Undefeated. We'll catch y'all in the preview episode later in the week. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.